Welcome to the Flow Tracy Monday Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 2:34 p.m. that is Central Time. Today is January 31st, and it's also Chinese New Year's Eve. So, Gong Qi Fa Sai to our Happy New Year to everyone from the Asian community who's celebrating tonight and tomorrow. So, when we look at the 10-year yield in the UK, we're up to 1.3%, and it's trending higher. We have a very well-defined sequence of higher reaction lows, got a sequence of higher highs, and it's now finding support in the region of the 200-day moving average, and it's done that now on successive occasions. So this is an uptrend, and it's implying that both inflationary pressures are picking up in the UK, that the budget deficit may not quite be under full control, so people are worried about the credit quality of owning gilts. And then, of course, there is the potential that inflation is going to mix in with all of that. And on top of all of those factors, then there's the question of growth. So what happens when GDP growth starts to falter? And inflationary pressures might then have a lag. So there's the realistic possibility that what we're looking at for the UK and for a number of other countries is potentially stagflation. So it's obviously something that is going to weigh both on the bond market, because investors will be looking for interest rate hikes, and central banks will be inhibited from raising rates a lot in the face of growth that's coming in below par. And when we think about the USA, well, the Atlanta Fed's GDP Now measure is at zero growth right now for the first quarter. So they're pricing in the potential that there won't be any growth at all. And of course, oil prices are still marching higher. And the 10-year yield has pretty much stopped rising, for at least for the moment. It was up a basis point in here today, but there's been jolly choppy action over the last few days, and it's pausing here in the region of the upper side of the range. So that just pause where the yield has come down by about 10 basis points has been enough for the Nasdaq to rebound, and also for a number of the innovation-related stocks to begin to find support. The Nasdaq was up in a rather dynamic manner in here today, and it's on the cusp of closing at the upper side of the daily range. So this is good upside follow-through from the upper dynamic that we saw on Friday. That the fact that it's able to string together 2 days in a row is encouraging. Of course, it was able to do that too earlier this month and then ultimately failed. So it's going to have to at least hold the low around the 14,000 level. And we do have a short-term oversold condition. So it's quite likely that this oversold condition will be unwound and that we'll at least get up and test the lower side of the overhead trading range. But then the question, of course, is what's going to happen in terms of growth and inflation? Because oil prices remain really quite firm. So the oil price is still north of $90 on Brent crude. It was up another dollar in here today, so continues to trend higher. This little pause below $90 didn't look like anything other than a consolidation, and a brief one at that. So we're still seeing oil prices continuing to firm. And of course, that's going to feed through into inflationary pressures as well. At the other side of the coin, we're starting to see growth in China starting to moderate quite quickly. So the Baltic Dry Index has pulled back in a really dynamic manner, coming from a peak of 5,500 to 1,380 in the space of about 2 months is a really quite profound decline. And potentially now prices should begin to demonstrate some support. We're back inside the base formation. And I don't think anyone's going to be talking about the extraordinary cost of shipping anytime soon. And outside of uh, the at the Los Angeles port. The queues of trucks outside of other ports are beginning to be reduced. So some of the bottlenecks are beginning to ease up, and that should help to moderate some of the inflationary pressures. And then, of course, if inflationary pressures start to moderate and growth forecasts start to be pegged back, well, then interest rates aren't going to be rising at nearly the pace with which investors have been pricing into the bond market. So obviously there are some inflationary pressures, particularly from the commodity complex, and natural gas was also in positive territory today on the back of that winter storm in the northeast, but it wasn't up in an exceptionally dynamic manner. Then when we turn around and look at the natural gas price in Europe, well, we've had the spike and now the price is starting to come back down. So some of the inflationary pressures are beginning to mitigate. And of course, then there's what everyone is worried about, which is the possibility of war in Eastern Europe. And the Russian ruble has at least found near-term support in that 80 area. And it's not the only commodity currency which is doing better. The Brazilian real is also firming from its lows, and it really hasn't gone anywhere for nearly 2 years now. So this continues to look like medium-term support building. And if the kinds of commodities that these countries export continue to firm, so we have oil and gas for Russia and also for Brazil, and then soybeans continues to push higher and is clearly recovering from the region of the 200-day moving average, having found support in the region of the upper side of the base formation. These are positive developments for Brazil, and I think it's relevant just to look at the ETF because that's going to be an indication of how well Brazilian assets are doing from an international investor's perspective, and it has clearly broken the 7-month downtrend. So this is increasingly looking like a higher reaction low, and potentially here that this exceptionally lengthy period of profound underperformance may be coming to an end. And gold prices were also more positive in here today, because anything that contributes to the perception that interest rate hikes are not going to be exceptionally swift and most particularly aren't going to outpace inflation, well, then that's positive for gold. So it was up $6 and potentially here beginning to find support. We've had a sequence of higher reaction lows since March. It's testing the most recent one of those from early January, so this is an ideal area for support to start to come back in. And some of these gold shares then are also bouncing, and bouncing from the region of the lows from back in September. One thing that I think is interesting is that there are a number of Russian gold miners listed in the UK. And they have sold off really aggressively and are just beginning to find support now. And we can think, for example, that Petroplavsk was trading at 26p back in October. It's at 14 today. And, well, I guess 15 today. So that's a meaningful drawdown on any kind of share. So we've certainly seen some value thrown up. Generally, when we think about very steep pullbacks on instruments like the ARK Innovation ETF, it's down 60% from its peak, and it's pretty much unwound all of that advance from during the most panicky part of the pandemic. So this is a natural area where we might anticipate some support being found, and it is being found here. But the challenge for the innovation sector isn't so much about the validity of the arguments, because when you're talking about a rosy future and not really putting a date upon which this rosy future will arrive, then a lot of it has to do with interest rates. The willingness of investors to give the benefit of the doubt to this rosy future appearing at some stage is very much dictated by just what the interest rate is. And when interest rates are close to zero, well then investors are willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside for these innovation shares with no profits, really for as long as it takes. And when interest rates start to rise, well then they do start imposing a time limit. And of course, a lot of these companies aren't really anywhere close to turning a profit, so they've sold off really aggressively. And a large number are now in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. So it's a natural area where we can anticipate some support being found. But following this kind of decline, a period of support building is probably required before people can start to have confidence again. So we get a rebound and then subsequently a retest of the low. And if the trend is going to recover, then that retest will be successful and we'll start to see higher reaction lows within the base formation. But certainly the go-go days where we have money supply growth at 20 and 30% per annum, it doesn't seem to be about to be repeated, and that would suggest that this exceptionally quick advance that we saw in 2020 isn't going to be repeated either. And Bitcoin prices also did exceptionally well during that period of money printing, and the price was in negative territory for most of today, but then was able to turn it around and is now finishing out the day in positive territory. It needs to sustain a move back above the 40,000 level to break this downtrend and really begin to convince people that the lows are in fact in. And with stock markets doing somewhat better, that's looking like a more likely scenario. But of course, a lot is going to depend on how inflationary pressures start to come through. And of course, a lot is also going to depend on where liquidity is going to come from. So what happens in China is going to be a really important set of developments. The stock market's going to be closed for the next week because of the New Year holiday. And when it opens up again, then investors will be looking for clear signs that there's going to be additional liquidity infused. We've certainly seen that some of the measures that were imposed upon the property developers are beginning to be eased. So the Shanghai Property Index rebounded pretty impressively over the course of the last 6 months, but now it's starting to pause again. So we don't yet have clear evidence of a really significant and sustained boom in terms of liquidity provision from China. And we're not going to have anything like that for the next week either. So there'll be a lot of guessing going on. But GDP growth is certainly moderating. And if China is slowing down, then that's going to have a deflationary impact on the global economy. So there's the potential here that we could already be at the peak of inflation at just the time when central banks are warming up to the idea of raising rates. And that holds out the prospect that we're back in a situation similar to what Europe found itself in almost a decade ago, where they got worried about inflation, they engaged in both quantitative tightening and raising rates, they created a deflationary environment, and they had to cut rates aggressively again. So we may be in a situation where the Federal Reserve has already talked its way into raising rates, and the Bank of England has already raised rates once and is quite likely to do so again. But when we consider then that there's a massive quantity of debt outstanding, well, they're going to be in a difficult situation to continue to raise rates, and that ability to raise rates further will go just out the window if growth starts to moderate because of the impact that would have on debt sustainability. So we're certainly in an interesting environment, and there's the potential here that stock markets can rebound because investors will start to come around to the idea that we're not going to have five interest rate hikes this year. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.